Claudia and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Oh, this heat, Drew. It is driving me berserk.
I hope the rest of the country appreciates that we sort of telegraphed what was going to happen in this part of the country. We were talking about the heat for 10 days, and then the place just caught on fire.
Yeah.
It was so hot.
I look at it as God trying to put us out of our misery.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know when you pull up on some roadkill, there's a deer, it's got a couple of broken legs, it's bleeding through the ear. Yeah. What it needs is a bullet in the head.
Yes.
Doesn't need a pillow.
That's what needs a bullet. That's what these fires are.
I think that's what God's doing with these fires.
Well, if you notice, they've ringed us. They've created a ring where there's no roads out of Los Angeles.
I'll hurry up and close in so we can get this over with.
Yeah,
I'm going insane. I was 85 in my house when I got home. And look, listen, everybody. I'm not using any hyperbole. There's no exaggeration here. I'm just telling you the number, the digital readout that's on, not the thermometer that's out in the sun, not the one that's on the roof, just the thermostats right in my entryway. And believe me, when it's cold, it says it's cold. And when it's hot, it says it's 85. That's 6 o'clock this evening, 85. Open every window, turn on every fan. When I leave tonight at 9:30,
84.
Which is, no, 83,
83 yeah.
Which is really 10:30. It's got to be well into the 80s, indoor, in the house, well into the 80s. Goddamn air doesn't work downstairs. And everyone says, oh, get the guy out. But I keep thinking, what have we got, another day of this, a day and a half? And
then it'll go on. That's what drives me so crazy. Oh, yeah.
Am I jinxing it?
If the guy comes out, they'll end it.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, the guy must be busier in hell right now.
But just think, if bringing him out ends the heat wave.
That's what it is.
We'll bring them out.
Can't we do some cloud seeding or get some Indian to do some dance or something?
By the way, if there ever were a case for cloud seeding not working, we threw a few billion tons of smoke into the air here. It didn't do much for the clouds, right?
Well, I don't know. I think they put sulfur, aluminum, something. I'm not sure what they seeded with. Yeah. Yeah, think about that. Silver nitrate or something like that, or sulfur nitrate. But here's the point. I get in my car and it's 78 degrees. I mean, it is, and the wind blows, and it's like you think someone's holding a hairdryer in front of you. It's the middle of the goddamn night.
In the middle of the fall.
What? Halloween!
Yeah.
I'm seeing pumpkins out on, their pumpkins are catching on fire.
Exploding.
Candy corn is melting. Do you hear me? Like, what is going on? Could we get some goddamn weather?
Yeah.
Could we get something? Anything but just... Here's what we get in Southern California. We get no weather or novelty hot. We don't get anything. I swear to Christ, I got to just look at a picture of lightning to remember what it looks like. There's no thunder. Once in a while you hear a car backfire or a gangbanger fires off a couple rounds into the air. But that's about it.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. I want something.
Yeah.
I want to see a goddamn cloud move.
That's right. After the fires come through this year, we'll get a downpour.
Listen,
I'm
excited just to see smoke in the air. It's like I look up and go... Hey, usually there's just that burning orb that's searing my brain, but now there's something else floating around in there. Huh. I guess that's smoke. Oh, well, at least it's something. At least there's something to see. Jesus Christ, it's driving me nuts. All right, Drew.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am with you.
Can't find my ID card. Listen, I know I brought this up 300 or 400 times, but I swear to Christ, if somebody invents a car... and says, look, this car's 20 grand too much. It's way underpowered. It's not put together very well. It was put together in a Polish factory. A lot of people were drunk on rye and vodka. But let me tell you one thing this car does have, a seat gutter. The passenger seat gutter.
You'll take it.
Anything. Keys, little ID cards. Cell phones, whatever. It's just all gonna. Think you just mashing. I think how many hours you got. You just mashing your hand in between the seat of the car.
Maybe we ought to
slide it under the back.
Maybe the simple thing is just to develop a seat gutter sweeper. Just a little instrument that whoosh, Sleep it all to the back seat.
I can't get it. It's got the seats. You know, if they're power seats, they got all kinds of screw drives and motors and gears and solenoids. It's too much. You can't get your back in the day. You used to be able to get your hand under there. Yeah. Now you try to wedge your hand in the side. You're not quite sure where stuff's hiding back there.
Yeah, you're right,
Drew. You got a four door. You got to get some two. You get a two door with no back seat. You can't get your hand back. There's nothing back there.
Yeah.
Now I don't know where my ID card is. Now I got to really get in there and look at it. And here's the thing about the seat gutter. It's not that a bunch of stuff falls down in there. It's that you know it's not in there. Whereas when you don't know it's in there, you swear it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where it is. Mm. Everything is under my car seat until proven otherwise.
Right? Yep.
Any of your jewelry, watches, keepsakes, stuff that was looted from Jews in World War II, if you can't find it, I think it's under my seat.
Could be.
That's my point. And it very well could be.
Some of the Baghdad looting.
All under there.
Yeah, yeah.
The museum stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking
about.
It's
under my seat. Tiffany?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up? You're calling from Dallas. What was the temperature like in Dallas today?
Today, it was a little warmer. Yesterday, it was in like the 50s, I think. But today it was around 60s, 70s, I don't know.
Weather.
I swear to effing Christ, Drew, it's 10:30 today. I'm standing at my house. I'm working on my house. I'm standing out front with a couple of my Latino brethren. I'm pointing at some stuff. I'm looking. All of a sudden, I just like look up, and it's like feel one lone drip of sweat go down the back of my neck and into my shirt. I'm thinking to myself, what is this? It's painfully, oppressively, brutally hot. And we're almost into November now. We can't have anything in the goddamn 80s?
Yep, you're right.
It's going to be 96 it just feels like I'm standing behind a jet engine.
All the time.
I'm miserable. Every night, the fan's going, the air's going, the windows are open, everything's going. Oh, just something. Here's what I want. I want to put on some Long Johns. What's up, Long John? I want a sweatshirt. I want the one with the hood built in.
Oh, yeah.
Pull that
Remember
hood
that
up.
Caller we had a couple nights ago? Said she was wearing a hoodie.
Mm. Oh. You know what I want to do? I want to go to bed with socks on because my tootsies get cold when they stick out from the comforter. Jesus Christ. I have to sleep. You know what my position is? It's like Christ on the cross. I have to spread out. I told you I have to take a number two pencil and wedge it in my cheeks to keep them open. Otherwise, I produce too much heat in the ass cheek area. Feet sticking out, cover flopped open, cotton mouth all night. There's a dry wind blowing everywhere. I'm walking around like this all day.
Oh, yeah.
Spitting up cotton balls. Is this it? Can we get something? Okay. I'm mad at the weatherman.
Tiffany,
I blame them.
What's going on? You're 18. 17.
I don't know exactly what I'm doing wrong, I guess I could say. Because I have a boyfriend, and he's 19, about to be 20.
How long has he been your boyfriend?
For 3 or 4 months now, 2, 3, 4, I don't know.
How'd you meet him? He's 19.
We met at a bowling alley.
Of course.
All right. What's your average?
What's my average?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I knew she wouldn't know what that meant, even though they met at a bowling alley. I should never talk to anyone at all.
I don't bowl.
Okay, I know. I knew you wouldn't know for some reason.
It would
reason.
Be unsatisfying. But go ahead. So you met him there. What's happening with him now?
Well, we've been together for a while, and I've been trying to get him to have sex with me, and he won't.
Do you know what an average is?
I guess my score?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you just said I don't bowl,
She's
right?
She's cool.
Well, I don't bowl.
But she wants to have sex with her boyfriend.
You said that as a response to the what's your average show.
Well, I didn't know what you meant at the time.
All right. So, you're having sex with
Wait. But asking somebody what their average is like asking somebody who doesn't golf regularly what their handicap is.
Yeah, they just go, I don't golf.
Yeah. That's what she said, I don't bowl.
At 10 minutes into it, she
did. Okay, you're right.
That's what I'm complaining about.
So, she has a boyfriend who will not have sex, and you don't know why, right?
And I don't know why. He tells me that, because he has before and I have before, and he tells me that he wants it to be special, and I try to make situations special. Like,
sure.
I don't know.
League night?
What does special mean to a guy?
Yeah. What is special?
Guy's special if you're having sex with him. That's special.
That's what he
tells me. He could meet you at a dump.
And that'd be special.
Hey, Drew, we're doing on a soiled box spring that's out in the back of the alley. Perfect.
Special.
How romantic.
That's how every guy I've been with before has been, you know, wherever, you know, however. But him, I don't know.
How many guys have you been with before?
Just two.
Two. All right. And any sense of what's going on with this guy?
I really, really don't know, because he's been with people before, and I mean, he's like thrown down in the middle of school before.
He's thrown down?
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah.
Well, you see, I can extrapolate. He's had sex in the middle of school, right?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell what the context
is. Okay, there's something very, very wrong.
Yeah.
Something
he's not that
does not add up. You sure he's your boyfriend?
Yeah. Well, the first 2 weeks we were together, he was like, well, I don't want titles. I don't want titles. And then eventually he was like, well, yeah. And then
Here's my guess.
No, he's not that into
it. No, it's worse. He has another girlfriend.
Probably.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Well, no, because we spend like all day, every day together. He works and he gets off work and he comes over to my house around 7 or so.
Where does he work?
What do you do with him? What do you do physically?
How far have you gotten?
Well, we've done.
How come I'm supposed to know what throwdown means, but you don't know what do I do with him? Why is everything so confusing for you?
Well,
what do you do with him?
Everything but have sex.
All right. He's into that.
What kind of work does he do?
He's a welder.
Man, that is worse than
19-year-old welder.
That's worse than roofer.
But I didn't really know such a thing.
His dad has a business.
His dad has a business. There you go.
And he works with his dad. And
yeah. By the way, no reaction to that on Tiffany's part.
No. I can go ahead and say his dad.
Yeah.
Before she does.
Yeah. And she's not impressed.
Well, because it is his dad.
Yeah, of course. It's her boyfriend's dad's work for him.
All right. Tiffany.
Yes.
Why don't you just ask him? You just have to come out and ask him.
I have asked him. I ask him why he doesn't want to, and he says, well, because I want it to be special, and I don't
BS. You tell him that's BS. Just tell him that no way. You've talked to a lot of your guy friends, and they're telling you that there's no way.
How long has he not been humping you?
For like 3 or 4 months now.
Okay, well, tell him he has a limited amount of time to make a special night for the two of you, to plan a special night.
You've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Give him 2 weeks, and that's that.
And see him in slow motion.
Because if not, it means something really bad about this relationship. Either he's got somebody else, or he's not into it, or something.
She's lying on the bed, on the futon. He comes in, slow motion now, pulls the welding mask off, tosses it.
Just flips it up.
Flips it up. That means he's business. He only flips the welding mask up for two things. He's pulling off the big brim leather gloves.
I'm just
gloves
imagining the oral sex with that
big leather smock.
How does that work?
Hey, I think I could get used to that. All right. You know the problem with those? I don't want to get into welding.
No, please.
You can't see anything through the thing unless you get your arc started.
Oh, really?
You know?
It's that dark.
Oh, it's dark. Yeah, it's not like sunglasses.
Wow.
Like, they have to get it started, and then they do that head flip, and it pops down.
Oh, so you burn your eyes, and then you flip over the sun guy.
Yeah, but if you're no good at it, you can't get the arc going and then flip the welding mask down. But, yeah, you can't see through that thing. Oh. All right. Yeah, but good times, right? Hunt?
Yeah.
You're 20?
20.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yeah, I do.
Well, let's set it up. So
here's the thing. I figured out, well, I didn't figure this out, but we figured it out. Me and the other writers at Jimmy Kimmel Live figured out that the essence of all bizarre, all weird, the macabre, the occult, all the effed up things in life either come from Florida or Germany.
Period.
Period. And so we started playing Florida or Germany at the writers' meeting. Once in a while, someone brings in a piece of paper, says something effed up, like somebody taught their schnauzer to do the Heil Hitler, and then we have to decide whether it's Florida or Germany. And it's good fun, and we've been collecting them. I don't know if Jimmy's ever going to do it on the show, but it's been a number of months, and it hasn't come up yet, so
I'll do it
on this show.
I saw a headline, and I knew immediately it was Florida. A alligator got loose in an airplane.
Yeah.
I'll go home with that. Florida.
Could have been one that departed from Florida that was over Germany, though.
Oh, good point.
All right, so Hunt.
Yeah.
So we'll guess. You go ahead. Now, I was 3 for 4 last night. I would have been 4 for 4.
These guys
talked me out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, a woman ran over her husband or crushed him with her SUV. and she was only sentenced to 2 years of probation because she was able to prove by releasing videotapes of her crushing small animals that her and her husband had a crush fetish, like, that, and that he was consenting, that they were just...
Okay.
All right, let's reason this out. The fetish speaks Germany.
Yeah, it started in Florida and went to Germany for me.
Because interpersonal violence, Florida.
SUV, white, domestic violence, running over.
Florida.
It all smacked
Florida.
Of Florida.
Fetish.
Then it got into fetish.
Yeah. Weird fetish, too.
Weird crushing fetish. They do have that out here.
Let's make it real here. Now go up to an effed up legal system. We're back in Florida.
Yeah, we may have went from Florida to Germany and back to Florida. Yeah, because she only did a couple of years, and Germany seems like they would have given her more than a slap on the head.
They would have seen through the BS.
There was community service, too.
Okay. So are we going to make a guess?
Yes. What are we going to call it? It's a hard one.
Well, community.
Does Germany have community service?
I don't know if Germany has, but it's no fair if you get it that way.
Yeah.
I thought it was Germany, but Hunt has sort of led me to believe it's Florida. I don't know why. What do you think? Okay. I don't think it's that smart. Let's go Germany. You want to go Germany?
No.
Then you want to go Florida?
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't want to talk you out of it. I'll go whichever day you want to go.
Well, we'll play against each other.
All right.
All right, go Florida, I'll go Germany.
All right.
All right, Adam, you're wrong. It was Florida, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Just effed up legal system. Where else?
That's
Germany
true.
Has a rational social system.
But the crushing fetish sounds so
well,
true.
They may have been Germans in Florida.
Oh, interesting. Ah. Yeah.
What was their last name?
Higginstaller.
It only has the first name. Stephanie.
He's such an idiot. True. Drew's such an idiot. He thinks he can will himself into the right answer.
I got the right answer. I said Florida.
I know. Then he goes, what was their last name? And then he puts his finger up like, ha-ha, here we go. Mine Schneiderbrow. Here it comes. And it's like, and they didn't have. Drew, do you ever, you know that you queuing it jinxes it.
You're right.
You understand that?
Yes,
don't put your finger up and go, ha-ha-ha. I don't know why you think that you control it?
No, I'm saying, wouldn't it be funny? Listen.
I know, but no, you're saying, aren't I right? No, it's never going to be. Drew, you jinx it.
Wow.
All right, but you're still up 1-0. We'll have to keep going.
By the way, which is a more rational thought, believing you control it or believing you jinx it by putting your finger up?
They're both things you
irrational.
Think.
Irrational.
Both things. Kelly?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay. I've been with my boyfriend for a little over a year. We've been sexually active for almost a year now. And unless I, like, dress up or tie him up or get rough with him.
Germany?
No, Austin, Texas. During sex or oral sex, he does not have an orgasm. He'll get close, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if maybe, like, he was really into pornography, like, for a long time. Like, I'm his first. So, like, before that, it was just, you know, porn and righty.
And what?
Righty.
Yeah.
What does
righty.
That mean?
Oh,
righty.
Always righty. But I was wondering if maybe just like his exposure to so much really weird pornography.
No way. Not unless the exposure began when he was 6.
No, it's been a recent thing. His Catholic friend exposed him to it.
No. First of all, Kelly, you're sort of
denial
and way of thinking about how humans work is all sort of screwed up.
Yeah, you've got an effed up boyfriend. It's not his Catholic friend's fault. It's his parents' fault or his fault or God's fault.
He's a trauma survivor. It's trauma. That's a trauma.
He's a mess.
He actually had a really kind of normal, straight-laced childhood.
Yeah, but something happened along the way there. It may have all been good, but something got him. Something traumatized him along the way.
Yeah. You sure you want to put up with this guy?
Well, I mean, he treats me really well. Like, he's the first boyfriend I've had who's not, you know, cheated on me or hit me or lied to me.
So she's attracted to that kind of guy.
Yeah, but aren't you going to start craving that? A little chaos pretty soon?
Not really. I mean, we've had like one fight, and that's because I was working like, you know, 60, 70-hour weeks, and I had one day off that month, and he forgot we had plans. And that was
What does he do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
All right. You and he, both of you.
I'm a chef, and he does tech support.
Nerd.
Yes.
Super nerd.
He's a nerd. He's an Asian nerd. Asian computer nerd.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you're a nerd if you're an Asian who's good at computers. I mean, it's like, are you a nerd if you're an Asian who plays the cello or the violin or the piano?
He plays the violin and he has a 4.0 GPA.
Shocking. I think that just makes you Asian, not nerd. you have to play the cello, the piano, and the violin simultaneously to be an Asian nerd.
While you ice skate.
All right, so what do you want? What does he want you to dress up like?
Different things. Like, I have a bunch of, like, dominatrix kind of stuff, corsets, sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of little schoolgirl outfits, a Girl Scout outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it runs the gamut, really.
Mm-hmm. And you can't just have a straight night. You got to put something on. You got to put on a show
for him.
He
can't function without it?
He enjoys sex without all of that. He just doesn't have an orgasm. And
yeah,
it's like,
well, that means he can't function without it.
Wow.
Now, that's true fetish. That's true fetish. Then, so something did happen to him. He was yeah, something
wow.
happened.
All right. So, I don't know. Can you wean a guy off of this? What do you do?
They're in.
You mean, if he's just having sex with you for a long period of time, nothing, huh? I mean, unless you're in a schoolgirl's outfit?
Yeah, something like that. Or if he's tied up. Like, I have an old house.
Tied up.
Yeah, I have an old house with, like, you know, big rafters in the living room, and I have a suspension, and he likes that.
Suspension?
It's like a harness, and, like, he's in the harness, and I'll go down on him while he's in the harness, and, like, you know, 10 minutes, and he has an orgasm. But if I'm just going down on him and...
Very sporting of you, Kelly.
Yeah. It's like, well, hold on a second. It's like you're like pulling a marlin up onto a pier or something every time you want to blow a guy. Taking a picture with you standing next to the Asian kid. Well, that's a nice-looking Asian. What do you come in at? About 145, 150. What, buddy was a fighter? Oh, yeah. What test line you use? Just 110 Asian line. Wow. What'd you get him on? Chovy? The squid and Chovy, mainly. They were hitting on squid, but I went with Chovy. And, boy, I fought this kid. I got in a fighting chair. Fought this Asian for a good 45 minutes before we gaffed him on board. She got to come along hanging from her rafters in, like, a block and tackle?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. See, here's the whole thing. I'm up for anything, like, the first 10 times I do it, and then I got to slide into that comfort zone, which is, you mean you want me to take my pants all the way off? They're around my ankles, baby. I got to take them all the way off? I got to go to work.
Not the socks.
I got to go work in 3 hours. What do you have on the rafters of your old house?
It's basically just kind of a pulley system and, like, a body harness.
Who put that there?
I did.
And what are you hanging it? Are you just looping it over the rafter? Or do you have, like, an eye hook or S hook or something?
Well, they look kind of like, you know, belts. It's like leather straps with buckles, and I have it between two rafters. And
they go over the rafters.
Go over the rafters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it'd be
great if this came down.
You're going to need that service.
Wow.
Happily Ever After, whatever you called it.
Yeah.
What did you call that service?
I'll get into that in 1 second. Yeah. Let's see. Rest assured.
Rest assured.
okay. I don't know. Drew, what do? Does he get therapy?
That's the only way that's going to change. Or you just let it be.
Or you just keep going.
Yeah. This is not going to change easily, if ever, frankly. That just, you know, our concern, though, is that these things don't exist as an isolated phenomenon.
Right.
It means there's some other aspects of his personality that are sort of, might need a little bit of work. To me, it all smacks of trauma.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's up to him if he wants to get it. If you're okay with performing in the Cat of Nine Tails and the big stage show every time you have sex, well, fine.
I got to tell you, to me, going through life with that fetish, like I can only have an orgasm if someone's, you know, crushing a roach in high heels while I beat off. That to me is like, I'd rather just be diabetic, or I'd rather have to be on dialysis or something. It's like it's just as much work.
It's burden,
every time. You can't just fire up the shower and rub out a quick one before work. It's like, oh no, I need half a day. I need a truss. I need a harness. I need an elaborate system. Yeah, I mean, this is garage door opener.
Bad times.
Oh, bad times. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, here's a good call.
Yeah,
Matt. Matt's 18. Likes a classmate who's a stripper.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It was not cool.
Not cool.
Yeah, you going to junior college?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Funny story. My smoke detector was beeping, like just started yesterday, and I had to remove the battery before they called.
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna sort of have an impact on the battery industry. I think people are gonna be embarrassed when they hear the smoke detectors run out to get the batteries.
We've done a lot of tracking the call the other night broke my heart, which was Thursday night. At the end of the night, we swore that we heard one.
We just did.
And the girl swore up and down she didn't have a smoke detector.
Yeah.
And normally you'd think, well, of course you would believe the person. They're standing in the room. But not the Loveline callers. Because we've had that happen a few times before and had them come around from, no, there's no smoke detector. No, I can't hear anything and you don't hear anything, too. Oh, that's the smoke detector. Sometimes it takes a little while, but we would have gotten her and we ran out of time. Really breaks my heart, Drew. It's the one that got away.
Hmm.
All right, but we've figured out that they chirp between 30 and 37 seconds. That's the most important thing I've learned in the last 3 years on this show. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, me and a couple of my friends, including a friend of mine who's a girl, we all went to, they kind of like convinced me to go to a strip club that's actually not too far away from my school. And I remember being really excited to go, and then as soon as we got to the door, I became really agitated and nervous. And we walked in, and suddenly, as I sat down, I felt the most asexual I've ever felt in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I was coming home, I couldn't even imagine a single girl like I normally do. I couldn't even imagine a girl I would ever feel attracted to at all. Like, the girl sitting across from me normally would just give me a hard on immediately, but this time, for some reason, it just didn't, and it scared the, you know, what out of me.
So it scared you that you went to a strip club and were turned off by it?
Yeah, like, I felt like I didn't, like, I felt like I wasn't a guy. I felt like there was no, like...
Yeah, relax.
Any good-looking chicks there?
Yeah, in fact, one of them, actually, I'm pretty sure goes to my school.
Yeah. Well, all strippers go to junior college at some point in time. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's most of the population of the school. All right. So have you beat off since then?
Yes, I have.
All right. Good boy.
But it wasn't until the next day, and I'm usually a three-timer a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're fine. Listen.
What do you work? Really? Is this really what you're calling about?
I mean, and my friends made fun of me because, I mean, I came in there with like $40, and I knew I really wanted to dance. And I think about every single girl in the club came and asked me if I wanted to dance, and I knew that I would have been attracted to all of them, be they outside the club.
You mean strippers were asking you to dance?
Yeah. What? Well, no, the lap dance.
It was a really nice strip.
I got to describe everything to everybody. Well, I got to describe the stuff Drew says to the callers and the stuff the callers say to Drew. Hey, Matt, how much for a lap dance at this club?
$20.
You know my plan, Drew, when I'm in charge? The $15 bill. Remember I was talking about
this? That's right. I'm really 12, shouldn't it be? 14?
12's pushing it.
Okay.
15.
All right.
15 would really... I'm convinced the note that you give out when you get a ride to the airport... The car picks you up, drops you. You got to tip the guy. You got to give him $20. It's 20. Everything is now $20. Lap dances, $20. If there were a $15 note,
you would
give the guy who gave you a lift to the airport in the town car $15, and you would give the stripper $15. Doesn't sound like much, but
it adds up.
It does add up. Absolutely.
Keep more people employed that way too, huh?
Yeah. I'd say we get... See, 10's a little... 10's too cheap for a lap dance, and 10's a little light for the tip to the airport. But the 15, Drew...
Be just right.
Yeah. And to me, the town car to the airport and the lap dance has probably always stayed in step. You know, back in 1976, when a lap dance was $5, the town car at the airport was a $5 tip. 100 years from now, when a lap dance is $45, that'll be the tip to the airport. You see, they always stay in step with each other.
In sync.
Yeah, think about that, Drew.
It's profound.
Yeah, I don't know what Matt's problem was.
He became panicky for some reason. He had some sort of panic attack in response to the...
Yeah.
So the it was an intense situation, and
he's
sort of
fine.
Overwhelmed him, and he became fearful of sex and women for a short period of time, and then he was back on his swing again.
Matt's smoking too much weed.
Could be.
He's got to start drinking.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah?
You smoking pot?
Not for a really, really, really long time, like 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah, and I've only
but
done
just
it like 10 times.
Just the fact that you say really, 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 and then have it be under half a year. Okay,
but,
do you
you're
drink?
Okay now, Matt. You're all right now?
Yeah, he's fine.
Right.
He had a little panic attack.
Yeah, basically.
He got a little weird on himself.
Yeah.
He do that once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Especially at that age, you're like, is there something wrong with me? Is my sexuality impaired? You know, guys at that age,
yeah.
They start doubting themselves.
Yeah. Listen, this is what TV is for. Once in a while, I start thinking, like, hey, what's going on? What about my future? What am I doing here? And then I go, TV. Turn on the TV, I forget all about it. I get lost in a world of television. Shiny things, lights, colors, movement. It's amazing, Drew. Christina?
Yes.
You're 25?
That is correct.
What's up?
Okay. My husband and I have been married for about 3 years, and for the past, ever since my daughter was born, he has been having this, the only way he can orgasm is if he fantasizes or pretends that other people are, like, with us.
How does he go about that?
He'll put, like, his fingers in my mouth and pretend like, pretend like that's somebody else. Or he'll want me to call him by somebody else's name.
No, but pretend, hold on, hold
if his
on.
Fingers are somebody else's penis.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody else's penis. So he's, well, Drew got one on me now. He'll be having sex with you.
Yeah.
And put his fingers in your mouth and be like, yeah, suck it.
Yeah. And it's so awkward.
She says that.
Yeah, it's awkward.
I've, like, turned my
it's
head
off-putting.
Times, and he's so adamant about it.
Yeah.
And
it's like, oh, love it.
It's an orgasm.
Oh, boy. What's up with these guys? We got to get some kind of reconditioning camp or something.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah. They need to be reworked.
Like
retooled.
They need a retread put on them. What's he do? Yeah. What trade is he in?
He's in advertising.
No, no.
Oh, yes.
What's he do? Outdoor?
He's an advertising soap. No, he's not door to door or anything like that. He works for a very reputable company.
It's only funny if he writes jingles.
No.
Okay.
Nothing like that.
Well, look. Here's the thing. I'm put her on hold because her line's bad, but she can hear us. Women are sort of the custodian, referee, gatekeeper of the sexuality.
Yeah, men will spin out if they let them.
Everything will spin out.
Yeah,
start. They'll get their mom and their sister in there. The whole camera crew.
So that is a point we made. Is it not to? Once you get into those fetishes, the guys are even, or for that matter, if women need them, they become the focus of the sex act. It distances the intimacy, and they start needing it in order to function.
Yeah,
it's sort of a road you don't want to go down.
And they become like some tree that is. Been pushed the wrong way, and it starts growing that way, and it's not like you can straighten it out. You try to straighten it out, and you pull it, the roots come up now. Mm-hmm. It's not like once it moves, starts moving that direction, you can't just go,
no,
we got to swing it back this way. It's like, it's that's the direction it is.
Yeah.
You can stop it there, but it's really hard to get back to where you were, especially if that's, if it's heading towards sunlight, and that's, I don't know how to put it back now. I do get the feeling, I do wonder if a lot of guys just want to be put back. Like, if they want somebody to
Most
sort
of them are ashamed
slap
of it,
them. Yeah, but if they want someone to slap them on the hand and go, no,
cut it out.
Stop it.
Yeah.
You don't need this. This isn't right.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. This is humiliating. You have a kid now. It's ridiculous. Yeah?
I don't know if that, I don't know.
You don't know if they want that or not?
No, I don't know if that would work or not. I imagine it would.
Well, it would work in the sense that the only kind of sex we're going to have is sort of Marcus of Queensberry sanctioned sex.
Yes, parliamentary rules.
So there'll be none of this.
Yes.
And that's about
and
all
you
can
and
do.
Guys are,
and guys can't do anything. What are they going to do, cut you off?
Right, they're workable that way. It's like, okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah, although they could hop on the internet and start getting weird at some place
that's
by
right.
the airport.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. All right, but either way, this is what she has to do.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wonder if something's going on in the relationship otherwise, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll never know.
Has she changed any since the baby's been delivered?
He's got to go back to her now. Is that what you're saying? She loosened up a little bit, put a couple of pounds on? Let's see. Christina?
Yes?
Christina, yeah.
Yes.
Anything changed since the baby?
I've gained a couple of pounds. It's not like anything like drastic, but that's the only thing that I can really think of that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Other than parenthood, and that's it.
How many pounds you put on?
Oh, great. You're going to be so mean.
Yeah.
About 15?
No, that's nothing. That's childbirth. Hold on. Let me do some quick math. About 15. 23 pounds you've put on.
Two.
That's fine. 22 pounds?
Two.
You?
No, about 15 pounds.
All right, honestly. Baby doll.
All right. And sometimes guys get a little weird about their wife becoming mom, too. They need sort of more arousal.
I know,
but they
need to gangbang her?
They need to get some more arousal going to overcome their ambivalent feelings.
Oh, really? Yeah. Not me. I'll be just as passionate.
You'll be napping
mom,
just the same.
Mom, start sucking. That's my thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay. Set up the pulleys.
Yeah. Here, throw. Yeah, it's like you're doing a goddamn barn raising every time you try to get laid. You're throwing a rope. You get a grappling hook.
Like a
throw it over.
So.
You start scaling. Woman opens her shutters. Ah! Whatever happened to that? Whatever to the gag of the woman? You know, there's always something going on in the ledge of a building, or some rappelling or grappling hook going up the side, and always some neighbor lady or someone who lived in the building who some reason had to open the window and air out something and then saw and screamed and slammed the window.
Remember the Batman gig when the two of them were going up the building and inevitably a celebrity would open the window?
Yes. It was like that,
time.
Too. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. A couple of pieces of business. I always forget to tell people to watch Crank Anchors on Tuesday nights, Comedy Central. Fantastic show. I don't plug it enough. Also, one of Drew's favorite shows, too, although he's eerily silent. Yes, Drew?
I love that show.
Good times, buddy. Also, we're told by Junior producer Lauren that our Dawson's Creek reran tonight, and I was thinking
triumph.
Drew was recounting the stories of me yelling at him the whole time we were over there that I was mad.
We had to go to North Carolina,
and I was just thinking about the day we had to leave, or at least I had to leave on a Sunday because we were going to start shooting Dawson's Creek on Monday morning. And at least I was going to start shooting Monday.
Right,
I think Drew started shooting on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Anyway, still getting over this cold. So they said, well, there's a 7 a.m. flight out of LAX you can catch Sunday morning. And I said, really? I got to leave at the crack of F Sunday morning to get, basically destroys my Sunday and Saturday night for that matter. Because thinking about getting up at 5:30. There's no later plane I can catch. I said, well, there is one at 2 o'clock, but that's the last. Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Are you kidding? I said that's the last one into North Carolina, and if you miss that, you got to pay for a charter.
Right.
Because if you miss that, you got to get on a charter because we're shooting Monday morning, and you're on the shoot schedule, and it's going to cost us thousands of dollars if you're not there. So I said, oh, by all means, sign me up for the 2 o'clock flight, and they said, seriously, if you're not there, you're going to have to charter a jet, and that could be 10 grand. And I said, sign me up for the 2 o'clock, because that's the way I live. And had the car come pick me up early. Car was going to pick me up at 2 o'clock flight, told the car, pick me up at noon, let's play it safe. Well, the L.A. Marathon was running that Sunday. That Sunday. And the guy... Guy called about 11:45, says running a couple minutes late. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Then called again about 12:15, 12:30. Says running a little bit late. Then at about 12:45, 1 o'clock, maybe called again, said doesn't look like he's going to make it.
And wow.
I just thought, holy F, I'm going to be paying for a chartered flight.
Oh, my God.
He couldn't get through the city because it's 26 miles. They close off the whole goddamn city. And let me say this. Run the marathon. You start the thing. Thing starts at 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning. If you can finish in a respectable hour, like 3 or 4 hours, God bless you. We'll wrap the whole thing up at noon. I don't need the stragglers when they're coming. You know, they're personally challenging themselves because they're running for diabetes, and it's going to take them 14 hours. But God bless them if it's the last. Yeah, meanwhile, the whole city's shut down. And listen, if you can't cover a marathon in a prescribed distance of time, amount of time, I should say, you ain't running a marathon. I mean, I could cover 26 miles in 4 days, just add it up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it's not running a marathon.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I understand there's special cases. Oh, he's a Vietnam vet. This man's in his 70s. Fine. You want to challenge yourself? See how many push-ups you can do in your apartment. And don't close the whole goddamn city down. Here's the marathon. Starts at 8. Ends at noon. You don't make it under 4 hours, you didn't run a marathon. There's some pressure. But nope, the thing goes on well into the night. Still, the city's closed off. I jump in my car, I'm driving every direction. I can't. Drew, picture where I live, picture LAX, and now picture a marathon going through the entire city.
Did you try going through the surface streets?
First, I tried to get on the freeway. I couldn't. There wasn't anything there. I had to double back around, get on the 405. Driving like a man possessed. Now, I'm a maniac, right? So I'm just thinking, last words I had, that thing was him like poking me in the chest going, okay, but if you don't make the 2 o'clock flight, you have to charter a private plane to take you to North Carolina. Do we understand that?
Oh my god,
driving. I got my wife in the car. I'm yelling, just screaming at her.
She was in the car.
Yep, someone had to drive the car back. I was gonna be gone for like 2 weeks. Oh my god, LA marathon. Am I right? What do we give? 4 hours?
Give them 5.
5 hours.
Yeah,
marathon. Gun goes off 8 a.m. 1 p.m., streets are open. You want to keep going? Fine. You could get run over. It could be drive-by shooting. That's it. There's your challenge. 5 hours. Pros do it in 2 and change. You got an extra 3 hours to make it. If you can't, screw it. If you're going to be walking, I did it. It took 28 hours. Oh, big deal. Thank you. Ann?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
You have another Florida or Germany?
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right. In bars, instead of doing karaoke, like clubs are playing silent clips of porno movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the patrons get on stage and simulate sexual acts, and then they give an award to the couple that gives the hottest show.
Germany.
Yeah, now, this is something I have heard this one. I thought, I heard it and it's going to screw me up even more. I thought it was Florida because I didn't think you could get away with this in Germany.
Germany. They disrobe and act out?
I don't know, but we're both going Germany.
You want to know?
Yeah.
It's
Germany. Ah, yeah.
Germany. All right, thank you. Drew got that one right off the bat.
There we go.
Drew, Drew's... You're
batting 1,000 tonight.
Batting 1,000 tonight. You're batting about 666 or 750 or whatever the hell you're batting.
I'm the one that screwed you
night.
Up from 1,000 last night, though.
Yeah, would have been batting 1,000. But Drew, generally good at the Florida or Germany.
Yeah.
Very solid. Ryan?
Yeah.
22, what's up?
Okay. Well, most of the time when I go to bed, like when I think about sex, like before I fall asleep, I sneeze twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when I think about sex, you know, when I go to bed normally, I just fall asleep. But when I think about sex, I sneeze. I was wondering what the hell that's all about.
Well, there's vessels dilate when you're sort of responding to a sexual impulse, and one of the areas they can dilate is the surface of the nose, and that causes a little fluid to come out, and that irritates and causes a sneeze.
Plus, once you tell yourself you're going to sneeze, right?
Not like yawning. Sneezing's not like yawning.
How much of it? I know, but there's an element of that.
Listen, the way the nitric oxide pathways and the things that Viagra works through basically works by increasing flow into the penis. That's one of the ways erections occur, like things dilate.
Right.
And that's,
Yeah, but let me say this. If you watched a film of a guy grinding a pepper while people were sneezing in the background.
I don't know.
Wouldn't get you any closer?
It's not like yawning.
I know, it's not like yawning. Whereas yawning is just straight ahead. Yeah. Monkey see, monkey do.
Sneezing
could get you going. Could remind
farting,
you.
Farting, you're more likely to fart. Hearing
really?
Yeah.
I was hoping to fart. Yeah, I didn't do it. I'll tell you, though, nothing better than answering with a fart. How you doing, Ann? Don't you agree, honey?
Oh, to your wife?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
My wife said I farted on her hand the other night in my sleep.
And you said, oh, honey, stop trying to impress me.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jason Bateman in here tomorrow night. What's he in here for, Drew? You don't know.
No.
Is he in Lord of the Rings or something?
Is he in the upcoming one?
I don't know. Hey.
Lauren.
Lauren. What's Jason Bateman plugging in here?
She's running.
She's on the move.
The Tars are coming in here next week. Jack Black next week.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack Black, big star.
He's on a new Fox show called Arrested Development.
Oh, he's on Arrested Development. Remember we ate lunch with Jack Black
Dinner.
Oh, yeah? See, to me, it was light outside. It was during the summer.
It was during the summer. It was the welcome back dinner for Loveline Season 3 or something.
I remember
on MTV.
That.
Laura Keitlinger was there.
It was at that French place.
The Bistro Gardens. Yeah.
Maybe it was like a 6:30 dinner or something.
It was light out.
Felt lunchy to me. But,
and we couldn't understand who the guy was that Laura brought.
Laura Keitlinger, our very first sidekick, our second.
The one that stuck.
Yeah, she was there for a
couple seasons.
Oh, that's right. Chris McGaha was the first one. Mm-hmm. She was nutty. Then the second one was Laura. She was a good comedian and everything.
Then we went through a whole run of different people.
Right, but her boyfriend is Jack Black.
Right.
Has been for a number of years. So, anyway, Jack Black was not really Jack Black 8 years ago whenever we had this dinner. And it was like, who's this creepy guy? And I remember her saying, hey, he's kind of an actor, comedian. And I looked at him and I thought, he looks a little bit familiar. Maybe I've seen him in a commercial or something. But he was, everyone else, he's dressed like John Belushi in Animal House. Like, it's a festive event. We're at a nice French restaurant.
Yeah, I remember he had an army jacket on.
Yeah.
And he looked like he hadn't showered.
He's dressed like a hobo. Yeah. And his hair's all greasy. Yeah. And I remember thinking, here's an antisocial weird guy. Now look at him. And, then I saw him later and did some MTV thing with him, and he is a nice guy, and we'll be glad to have him. But I wonder if he remembers that.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
I want to tell you guys I love your show, first off.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. I wanted to know, this is for Dr. Drew, actually. Can you block things out of your memory when you're little?
Yeah, there are things that can happen to you that if they're traumatizing or overwhelming will leave what are called implicit memories or imprints on how your brain works, but there may not be an explicit memory. You may not have an image of what happened. There may be just remnant changes in terms of how you relate to people or how you react to frightening situations, things like that.
Well, my parents divorced when I was like 7 or 8, mm-hmm. and I hadn't seen my dad in like 10 years. And last Memorial weekend out at the lake, we just ran into each other, like, in the middle. Well, my ex-boyfriend actually, like, met him, and then, I don't know, we had this big reunion and everything.
Well, wait a minute.
How did that part go?
You just ran into him?
Well, see, we were out at the lake. It was Memorial Weekend, and we were all partying and stuff. And then my ex-boyfriend, like, you stumble around campsites, you know, and you meet other people. Well, he was looking for a cigarette.
He was like, yeah. And by the way, I'm the guy at the campsite that wants you to get out of my effing campsite.
Yeah, that was...
Hey, dude. Hey, camp neighbor. You got any more of them tall boys or smokes? How about some marshmallows? Yeah. Nah. Get... Let me tell you, you can't camp anymore because there's too much white trash who gets loaded and stumbles into your campsite and tries to, they want to hang out. Ugh.
But yeah, I want to know how it goes down. Your boyfriend.
I just wanted a cigarette.
Yeah, but I want to understand how he goes looking for cigarettes and goes, hey, you look like Michelle's dad.
No, what? It wasn't even like that. They started talking or whatever because at first my dad's girlfriend.
I'm nailing this righteous piece of ass named Michelle. Just did her by the creek. I'm gonna be doing her in the tent later. You got a daughter named Michelle? Wow.
No, that's not even how it was.
How'd it go?
Anyways, they started talking, and he's like, "Yeah, so where are you from?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, I'm from Roseville." And he's like, "Really? I have a daughter that goes to Roseville High." And he's like, "Oh, really? What's her name?" And he was like, "Michelle." And then he said my last name, and then he's like, "Well, it might be changed now, but this is what it used to be. It might be Wooden now." And so I don't know. But,
all right, so did he bring him back to your camp?
Yeah, well, he came back, and I was, like, passed out. And he woke me up, and he told me, and I didn't believe him at first. I was like, shut up, you know, don't fuck me, I'm drunk, you know.
Oh my God, Michelle, I have a feeling Michelle is like, I got a healthy dose of the translucent.
White trash?
Oh, yeah.
Just her boyfriend's got to go camping.
She's 16, 17.
Smokes.
She's loaded and screaming the F word at her boyfriend. He just tries to rouse her at 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, by the way, this is one of the telltale signs. This is how you know you're white trash. And when someone tries to wake you up and you start cussing at them and throwing stuff, like you throw like your teeth at them or something, it's like, Ma, get up. Yeah. You know, when you start doing that, instead of like, being able to process information.
Yeah,
like
go really, what's
the problem?
What's up?
Is there something wrong? Yeah. What's going on? That's how you know you're. It's how you know you're stupid and or a white trash. Yeah. We don't want to get up. Like people are like shaking and going, the trailer is on fire.
You start sweating.
Get out of here! Yeah, you pick up and throw a Jack Daniels bottle at him.
Yeah, I figure Michelle actually was not even at the lake. She was at the river.
Oh really? Well, now that's albino trash. That's unfair to white trash. Michelle?
Yes.
Were you at the lake or at the river?
No, I was at the lake.
Okay, so you're just white trash?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, your boyfriend, now how old is he?
Was my boyfriend, and he's 18.
18. All right. Okay, so he woke you up.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad was there?
Yeah, and
your
then
dad?
We went down there.
Well, hold on. Your dad, who you haven't seen for 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. So you were 7 the last time you saw him?
Yes.
But he's kept in touch?
No, because it's kind of... I think my mom kept me from him.
All right.
Why?
Why? I'm not really sure why. She thinks that I was sexually abused when I was little.
Uh-huh.
That would be the why.
Who was your dad camping with, by the way?
He was camping with, like, some of our family and his friends and his girlfriend.
Some of your family?
Mm-hmm.
He's camping with some of your family.
Yeah. No, not my family on my mom's side, but my family on his side.
Okay.
People you had met before?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember, I have such a good memory of things when I was little, so that's why it's so hard for me to believe that, you know, that kind of thing went on.
All right. So was your mom sexually abused by her dad?
Yes. Not my dad, but one of my grandma's boyfriends or something.
Oh, boy. Well, that would, you know, it goes both ways with that one. That A, she could see sexual abuser in
everybody. Or B, she seeks him out.
So one way or the other.
All right, so look, Michelle, if you don't have any recollection of being sexually abused...
And you're okay in sexual relationships, you're able to have stable relationships.
Let's assume you weren't.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What are you doing right now,
Michelle?
Nothing.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Wait. Don't let her get away with that.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm just gonna hang up on
her. Don't hang up on
her.
I want to know
what
she's doing.
What do you mean nothing? What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
You just sitting on your bed, or?
Yeah, smoking a cigarette, actually.
Okay, you're just trying to... Okay. Your mom let you smoke in your room?
Yeah. Right now, yeah. Because both my parents smoke.
All right. Remember I was getting back to the hee-haw white trash? Come on, baby. You got to admit you're white trash, right?
I'm not white trash.
What? Are you in high school now?
I'm in high school. I get good grades. I have a job.
You do?
Yes.
Wait, are you going to go to college?
Yes.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go to Sierra for a year and figure out what I want to do, and then I want to go to Sac State or, I don't know, somewhere big.
You go up to Sac State.
You're eventually going to get to Sac State.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen, baby doll. Let's just assume you weren't molested. But don't get pregnant. All right.
Still's a fair amount of hostility.
I know. She is angry. She does that sort of angry part.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. She's a great student.
You know, it's funny. We were both depleted by talking to her.
Yeah. You're just like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, it's a shame.
Well, look, all I just don't get pregnant. And that's got to be nice. You run into dad. You haven't seen him since you're 7. Hey, you. Hey, you still into Alvin and the Chipmunks? No, Dad, that was 1989.
I kind of got the feeling that Dad might be the nice guy that Mom couldn't handle.
Ooh.
She made him into the abuser.
Yeah, but why was just got out Dad not around for 10 years?
Because this mom must be really seriously nutty.
Nah.
And he just had to get out of there, you know, probably feels regrets it. Although he was hanging out at the lake.
It's nice. Yeah, you know, a 17-year-old sparks up a cigarette in a room all night. Yeah, man. Hey, you got any butts, Mom? Hey, there you go. It's nice when you can share hobbies with your parents, you know?
Yeah.
Your dad's a doctor, you're a doctor. Your dad's a three-pack-a-dayer, she's a three-pack-a-dayer. That's great.
Times.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It's something that's handed down from generation to generation. Mara?
Yeah.
What is it?
All right, well...
Is it Mara or Mara?
Mara.
Oh, okay. What's up, Mara?
Well, I've known this guy for a few years, actually, but we kind of became friends about a year ago. And actually, he's a really geeky guy. Mm-hmm. I'm talking chess. I've got a pretty good friendship with him.
Wait a minute, you're 15?
Yeah.
How old is he?
15.
He's 15. His parents have a lot of money?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the same as you having a lot of money when you're 15.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, listen, I used to try to hang around people that had a few bucks, too. They'd have money to eat, and they would have cars. Those were the two big things. Friends that had money would actually have food. They had money. Like if you went to McDonald's, they could buy you something, and then they had the car to get you there.
Yeah,
those are two big issues. All right, are you into the guy?
Yeah.
All right.
But the thing is, I'm not sure if he's into me, and if I went forward with him, I wouldn't want to mess up any kind.
She almost lets it out.
She almost dropped.
The S bomb and the F bomb, but she caught herself.
I don't know if that F bomb sounded. Certainly wasn't a person that heard it that didn't think it was. Didn't remind them of the F bomb there, right?
No, right. So anyway, she wants to know, should she go for it? Yes.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. He'll be amazed.
I'm sort of angry at Mara for almost the S, and then she caught herself. And it's like, all right, we straighten that out. Now I'm going to drop the F. It just really can't put it. Like, what happens when you're talking to the principal at school or the cops want to question you?
Consider it a compliment, Adam. You're not the man. They don't feel like they're talking to the man.
But let's say, like, if you went on a game show.
Yeah.
And Bob Barker said, what are you going to do if you win the dinette? Said, I'm going to effing party like it's mother effing 1990. It's like... Really? Like, do you not know where you are? I mean, this is, Drew, I always say this is the difference between smart and stupid.
Yeah.
You just don't know where you are.
Yeah.
You, no matter what you do, you can't contain it. All right. Mara?
Yeah.
You can go ahead and date
Unacceptable.
The guy.
Well, there's, like, another thing going on with that.
Now speak very slowly so you don't drop an F or S bomb.
Okay. Well, I always end up with the guys that are really horrible. Like, they pretty much use girls a lot, mm-hmm. and they're just in it for fun.
Yeah.
And, well, also, if you have lied to me and stolen money from me and stuff, well, this guy, I think
he's how much money do you have at 15?
Not much, and that's why I get mad when people steal money from me, because $10 is a lot to me.
Never a satisfactory answer. So, really, it's $10?
Yeah.
Reach into your purse and steal it?
No, like, go up to my room and steal
really?
It. Or
all right. Well, these are bad guys.
Yeah. Well, this guy, he told me that he's not going out with anyone, and I've talked to his friends and some of my friends that go to his school, and they say that he's dating this girl. It's an ugly girl, but it's a girl.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I want to get into another type of thing like
that. Well, I'll tell you what. You've had some bad luck with guys, and you're only 15 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe you give yourself a little break.
No guys for a couple years.
Well, a couple months at least. Pull out.
So to speak.
Pull out of that race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right, then do that. Listen, everybody, if things aren't working out too good, like in the application part, go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to do something and it's not really working out, stop doing it for a little while. Get your bearings straight. Learn a few more things about it, and then go back to it.
The whole idea of just being alone for a while, you learn a lot.
Yeah. I just think the more, women have more trouble. The more a woman's dad or a young girl's dad wasn't there and whatever, the less they can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Less they can be alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I think my sister had a boyfriend from the age of like 13 to like the time she got married. She had a boyfriend like they're back to back. They're like butted
overlapping.
Up against each other. Probably overlapping. But I mean, it's just like being a 2-year relationship, going to a 2-year relationship, going to a 3-year relationship, going to a 2-year relationship. And they're always, I mean, always a boyfriend. This never stopped. I think that's because my dad wasn't around that much.
There you go.
Or she wasn't around. Whichever it was. She actually split from him, I think. All right, but it's good times. True.
Just think, in years past, that would have been 5 different marriages.
No. 25. All right, let's talk to Alex, who's 21. Alex?
Yes.
What's up?
I called about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, and I talked to the guys. I was, I came back from Iraq, and I had to combat PTSD. And
right.
You guys said, Adam, you were kind of just totally an a-hole to me, and I loved it. And
oh, well, I was not.
No one else could have told me anything. And so I heard it from you guys, and I don't think I had a drinking problem before, but I was still drinking, and you told me to just knock it off altogether, and I did. And it drastically changed everything. So,
okay.
I would like to thank you guys for...
For telling me to stop drinking?
Yeah.
Hey, you're calling from... Speaking of a post-traumatic stress disorder, I have that. Drew diagnosed me as that.
Yes, heat-induced.
Heat-induced. Am I right?
Yeah.
I do have that.
Yeah.
I grew up with such a sack of incredible goddamn losers that nobody had air conditioning in their car or their house or anything. We grew up in the valley. I played football for 10 years back when they thought water was bad for you. And I just sat
bad for football players, yeah.
Bad for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
But people who exercise could not drink water. They're going to cramp up. My whole childhood, all I could think about is just wearing pads and a helmet and dying out in the sun while some a-hole blew a whistle and then going home and dying in a crappy house with no air. And now when heat comes, I go out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate to that, definitely.
You're calling from Seattle. What's the temperature like there?
Oh, right now it's in the 50s, but...
No!
When we were in Iraq, we hit 142 as peak.
What?
Really? What?
Is there any more evidence that God is punishing those people? Is there any greater example of the Lord imposing his will on a people than saying, it will, yes, your land, there'll be no plants. There'll be no water. There'll be no wildlife. Here's what you get. You get 104 degrees. We'll give you a sandstorm and some scorpions.
Well, he said 140.
140. Yeah, that's what he said.
Were you in a tank or something?
No, this is out in the middle of the sun, 142.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, 140, yeah.
The water was boiling in our containers, and it's like you see somebody just walking around. One of the locals are just wandering around in the middle of the desert. There's no water anywhere. So, I mean,
I don't blame those people. Of course, you see how angry I've been over the last two weeks? These people. It's in the 90s. Yeah. I can barely contain myself. Yeah. I'm about to just ram people in my car. That's why these people, their brains are fried. That's what it is. We got to start air conditioning that place. I give them a chia pet and give them like a avocado pit, you know, with the toothpicks in it and the water. Grows a little vine there. We got to grow something over there. All that sand and sun is fried to people's brains. They're going insane.
140. I mean, I've been 115, 116, and I thought that was incredible.
I've probably been in like 120, 122.
I mean, 140 is the equivalent in terms of survivability to 50 below zero.
Yeah.
You understand?
You don't got long.
It's 40 degrees away from 100.
Okay. Well, I guess we're lucky it's only into the high 90s, low 100s out here. It's cool, Drew. It's balmy. All right, so Alex, you're feeling better.
I am. Everything has totally changed for me. And
you said you didn't... Yeah. You didn't see combat over there, though, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, what'd you do?
I was the driver.
A tank driver, or what'd you drive?
Just a big vehicle driver.
Oh, really? What kind of big vehicles?
7 tons, 5 tons, Humvees.
Just moving around troops and equipment?
Right.
All right. So you guys saw some action?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a few accidents and stuff like that. So.
Just hotter than hell out there?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, good. So you've stopped drinking. A real success story.
Well, the alcohol will make the PTSD symptoms worse, so that's good.
They got the month of the holy month of Ramadan coming up. But by the way, you religious nuttards over there need an entire month? Isn't your whole life just about facing Mecca and squatting down on your knees? Isn't your whole life? You really got to set, like, it's like, hey, Drew.
Yeah.
For me, I declare February official jack off month. That's where I really beat off. Like, haven't you been beating off your whole life anyway? Is that sort of your life?
Maybe you would pay homage to it.
February. Yeah. February, that's when I really double down on the jacket.
May not even do more, just pay attention to it.
Holy month of jacking for me. You guys don't get enough religion over there? You got some guy blowing a conch at 5 every morning, waking everyone up, reminding them to get down on their knees and bend to Allah, and you guys got to sit a month apart? Set this month aside. I think it'd be a great mood over there, by the way. Fasting all day. I think it'd be delightful.
And the heat.
Yeah, it's 140. I've missed breakfast and lunch. Now I'm in a great mood. Fantastic. Allah's been so generous with those people, by the way. So generous. So now it's time to give something back. It all makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And here's what I like. We got to tiptoe around it. It's their month. It's Ramadan. It's their month. We got to take it easy. Nah, take it easy on them. Nah, you got to observe certain things. Don't do this. Don't do that. Yeah, here's what I'm wondering. Let's say they took over here. Let's just say they are occupying the United States. Abdullah, Easter's pretty important to us. Could you guys kind of take it easy? Is it lay low on Easter and Yom Kippur and Christmas and Flag Day? We need you to lay low. And then you explain to your troops that you need a certain sensitivity toward us on Easter. Yeah, you think that would happen? I just figure they'd be effing our wives and girlfriends right now and walking around with our heads on a stick. Wouldn't you think? You think that way is a more likely scenario? Huh? A little more likely? I think so. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Again, I know it's the holy month of Ramadan over there in the Middle East. Everyone, again, just picture them as an invading force in this country, and close your eyes. Picture us explaining to them about how Easter works. Yeah, that's when our God said, you're into Allah. They say, no, we're not into that. We're not into your God. It's not into Allah. How long before they cut your head off, by the way? Now, see, our guy's called Jesus Christ. And Easter, that's when he is that when he resurrects? Is that when he, yeah, that's when we believe. Well, actually, we kind of know that our God, he goes, you think they're just going to stand back? Oh, okay. Fantastic. Well, to each his own. I mean, that's what makes this world so great. And I know a lot of the pee-whipped people out there saying, they wouldn't be in our country. Yeah, they would if they could. You kidding me? Please. If they had our army and we had their army, they would have been here years ago. Hell yeah. It would have been like Planet of the Apes. It'd be cracking the whip. We'd be all enslaved. And you know when you become a slave? You can't wear like sweatpants and a t-shirt. You gotta wear like a slave outfit.
Oh, is that right?
You gotta wear like a leather tunic.
Oh, nice.
And then like a studded strap that goes across your back.
Of course, yeah.
And sandals. And your back has to be open so when they whip it, we can see the whip marks
of course,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The slave outfit.
Yeah, they'd have our military, all the force and might of our military. We had their military. Yeah, they wouldn't come out this way. No, they just stay on their own ashtray. Own little ashtray with the sidewinders. That's right. They got sidewinders and a couple of tarantulas. There we go.
Hey, we need some more Germany or Florida questions.
Yeah.
A couple more of those.
Amy?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
When I was in high school and in college, I did kind of a lot of drugs. And now that I'm a little bit older, I can really feel the effects. And I was wondering if it's at all reversible or if there's anything that I can do to be how I was before I did all the drugs.
What's your primary drug?
Well, I smoked a lot of pot, but I'm more concerned about the ecstasy and the acid.
Yeah, the ecstasy. How much ecstasy did you do?
Maybe like 15 pills.
Yeah. And how long ago did you stop smoking pot?
About 6 months ago.
The pot should be reversed after about 6 months. No speed?
A tiny bit, but not enough to be worried about, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, not more than like
speedy.
Four times.
Yeah.
Yeah,
ecstasy's
I did have a lot of ecstasy. Well, 15. I don't know if you consider that a lot or not.
Yeah, well, 20 is 15. You're getting there.
Nah. Do you know it's 15?
About there. I mean, somewhere between 15 and 20.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Well, really, around 20 is where I start to see problems most commonly, and the kinds of problems what we see are memory difficulties and mood disturbance.
Yeah.
Are you having
that?
Yeah, and that is a permanent problem.
Mm-hmm. So there's no way to restore my memory at all, you don't think?
Well, there's a way to restore the mood with a mood medication, and sometimes that helps with your concentration. And
what about this, though? Doesn't everyone sort of spaz out with their memory? Doesn't everyone think they have a bad memory?
At 19?
No, she's...
I beg your pardon.
24?
24.
Yeah.
I just mean when I was 24. My whole life. You can't think of stuff.
The problem, though, is that the memory stuff that's measured from speed and ecstasy is quite substantial.
Right.
It's really a measurable drop. And my patients complain about it a lot. It's like a short-term memory. They can't find their keys. New learning is difficult.
And you don't think that'll ever come back?
You have to kind of compensate for it. You have to learn. You have to learn.
What about energizing your brain or working out a little by doing some like math equations or something like that?
I'm not doing math equations, but I'm kind of trying to read more, like read the newspaper more and educate myself and learn a little more. But
it doesn't work
that well.
Well, I'll tell you, if you listen to the show and you start listening to the Florida or Germany segment, I think that can really educate you.
But it will get better. It will get better, Amy.
Okay, how long do you think it'll take?
Well, no, it's not going to be the way it was, but it will get better because you're going to work at it.
Right. Do you think I'll ever be as smart as I could have been?
That's hard.
What were you going to do anyway? What was your plan?
I don't really have one right now. I'm kind of trying to figure it out.
What are you missing? You weren't going to do anything.
And it really, it's memory, too. It's not cognition so much.
What are you doing right now? Are you working?
I just graduated college, so I'm not working. I'm looking for a job right now.
Where'd you graduate?
Right now.
UC Davis.
UC Davis. Mm-hmm. That's a decent school.
Yeah.
All right. What was your major?
Well, design.
All right. So you want to do dresses or something?
I designed some clothes and other weird assignments that they gave us.
Yeah. Was that what you wanted to do?
It was at first. Not anymore. I'd kind of like to do something that's a little more meaningful, I guess.
All right. All right, good times.
Thanks.
Yeah, that should be fine. I just, some of this drug stuff is damage from the drug, and the other part, I think, is people getting inside their head a little bit and freaking themselves out.
All I know is we do the test, and it measures out quite substantially.
You're freaking them out, dude.
All right.
Yeah. And also, man, there are days when things aren't working as well as other days. I wonder how that works.
Yeah, that is interesting, particularly with, like, expressing yourself with language and things.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with that.
Well, I think you and I notice it because we have to do it every night on the radio. And some nights things come out. I do it when I'm speaking publicly. Sometimes things just flow out very clearly. And sometimes I can't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. Sometimes you're funny. Sometimes you're not. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
All right. Drew told... when were you funny, Drew? Were you ever funny?
No.
But Drew likes to laugh.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Drew. Josh...
Hey, what's up, guys?
And that he's a man of extreme passion.
Yeah, laughter and passion. That's what it's about, man.
Josh, you're 19.
Yep.
What's up?
I was wondering if the way that my parents disciplined me growing up could affect how I act, I guess, today. Or
absolutely not.
Not?
What happened? What did they do to you?
Well, I was like a bedwetter cleric for like 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And how they would, I guess they kind of got fed up with it. I mean, I couldn't really... change what I did, but they would rub whatever I did the night before in my face the next day.
Yeah, what would they do? They would ridicule you?
No,
they actually rub his face in it.
Oh, really? Hey, rub your face in your own urine?
Urine and anything else that came out, yeah.
Ooh. You know, you don't you hear about the bedwetters. You don't hear about the number two that often.
Yeah,
I mean... Nothing you drop a biscuit in your bed?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't know how it happened. It just did.
Encopresis.
How often would that happen?
Most, I guess, a lot of nights out of the week. And then I don't know what happened. I don't even remember.
How old were you when you duked in the bed?
I'd say up to about 7 or 8 years old.
All right, well, that's not them disciplining you, and that's not them being fed up with you. That is them being over-the-top abusive people.
Yeah.
Over-the-top, out-of-control abuse.
Yeah.
Because I never really saw them as that. I mean, they were...
Well, let me tell you, that's the... No, they weren't. They may have had their moments.
Well, what else did they do? Did they hit you with a belt or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Just, mm-hmm. I mean... Not very often. That probably happened like twice in my life.
You're calling from Colorado. What's the temperature out right now?
I think it's like 40, 45.
Oh, look at the rest of the country. They get to have a season.
Why are you doing that to us?
Must be nice. Painful. You just get to have seasons.
Yeah.
We just get hot, dry air blowing through our ass cheeks. All entire just 9 months out of the year. That's all we get. Oh, all right. So. All right, so your parents were tough on you, and that screwed with your self-esteem.
I'd imagine not only would you have low self-esteem, but you'd have trouble sort of even getting along. You'd probably fight a lot and get in trouble a lot, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that you?
I also wondered, whenever I'm intimate with any girls, like somebody I've just met or something, like, you know, sitting on the couch watching a movie, I'll have to get up, like, every 5 minutes and go to the bathroom. I didn't know if that was part of it.
A little nervous bladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what do you do now? Construction?
I'm going to college.
You're going to college? What college?
I'd rather not say. Where Julie's at.
Yeah? It's in Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so listen. Oh, 40s. It's in the 40s. Like, if you went outside right now, you could see your breath, right? Get a little steam out of your mouth?
Yeah.
Oh. That's nice. Imagine that, Drew. Ever see that?
I saw it in movies. I kind of remember.
I've seen it in movies once.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, I remember. I think I
went to the snow when I was a kid and I saw that once.
It's been so long now with the heat.
All right. Maybe Josh got to get a little therapy.
Yeah, Josh is going to have some issues. I mean, if he doesn't have real antisocial qualities about him, I'd be surprised.
He sounds all right. But, yeah, he's the kind of guy who has a few drinks and then goes nuts on somebody.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I was thinking about this a lot today because they were talking about the profile of the arsonist. And they were saying that there were bedwetters who, which I take great umbrage with.
Except
that,
you take
yes,
exception to
I,
that. Yeah.
I do take exception to that, Drew. That's an attack on my people. that they're bedwetters, that they tortured pets and animals. And by the way, here's the deal. You see some 11-year-old trying to force an M80 up a squirrel's ass. Let's go ahead and mark that kid. Let's keep an eye on him. Just tag him. Keep an eye on him. You have to wait for him to stab some co-ed with some scissors while he rapes the gash he put in her neck some 10 years later. Can we just go ahead and keep an eye on him? You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Yeah.
And the other one was his... some antisocial thing. I can't remember what the hell it was, but it made me think about it, and then it made me think about me wetting the bed and how to get rid of it, which is set your alarms, everybody. Don't...
I thought you were going to talk about your antisocial qualities.
No. Don't use your clock alarm. Get one of those timers.
Egg timers.
Just the kitchen timer. Just the little digital kitchen alarm clock. It's for, for putting the pastries in the oven for 33 minutes or whatever. Just press a couple hours. When it goes off in the middle of the night, get up and take a leak. I guarantee you won't wet your bed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And now Drew says this science has backed me up on this, right?
Yep.
What do they call that thing? Oh, they got some device that costs... What's it cost? Cost HMOs $750 for one unit? Yes.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay. True, weren't you telling me you read an article?
Yeah,
or something
no, and
about
I can't.
It?
I brought it in to tell you you've been vindicated.
Thank you.
We're on a break.
All right, we'll be right back. Hello, it's Loveline. Now, madam, the smart one. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jason Bateman is going to be in here tomorrow night, and we'll hop back to the phone.
A feeling of resentment, umbrage.
Mm-hmm. We're looking up umbrage. What else does it say? Just a feeling of resentment?
Yeah.
Well, then I used it the right way.
Yeah, an indistinct indication, vague or pique or resentment, often at some fancied slight or insult.
Yes, okay. So it's like...
I take exception to
you
that.
You take exception. Yeah. I was laughing at work today because we always do that back in the day when you were insulted. You would say, good day. You would say, and then you would say, I said good day. And that was the ultimate slap in the face. Good day, sir. What? I said good day. Now, you might have to duel because the guy said good day.
Right.
Sarah?
Yes?
Good day.
I said good day, sir.
Good day.
Yeah. What's happening?
Not much. That's my problem.
Yeah. You're 25. You've mm-hmm. never orgasmed?
Never.
Never by yourself? Never with a guy?
Never.
What about, and no oral sex, anything?
Oral sex actually is kind of annoying to me.
All right. So you've never had one through oral sex?
No.
Wow.
You go on medication?
No.
And,
do you have any medical problems?
No.
Any abuse?
No.
All right. You just...
I'm a pretty normal person.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
you just got one of those slot machines that doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. It's like some slots are looser than others.
God.
And she's just one that doesn't matter how many nickels you feed into it, it's just never going to pay off.
I think so, because I masturbate, and I've been doing that.
No, believe me, I've dated a few of those slot machines.
You masturbate and nothing happens, huh?
No, I mean, I come somewhat close, but it never pays off, yeah.
Do you menstruate normally?
Yes.
Are you normal weight?
Normal weight.
Do you have any other problems, eating disorders, anything like that?
No.
You had relationships?
I haven't had a relationship in 2 years.
Huh. Hmm. Why not?
I just haven't found someone I was that interested in. I don't
know. All right. Hey, you're not depressed?
No.
Okay. That's just, I mean, okay. So, how about a vibrator?
I have one.
Yeah?
The only way I come close to it is through penetration, so
That's good. Well, do you enjoy sex?
Yes, very much.
Okay. But. All right, look, just find a guy and fall in love.
Might do it.
Well, here's the thing.
If anything's going to do it.
Drew, you tell me if you think I'm off base here. But, you know, I talk about this all the time where we say, look, some people are tall, some people are short, some people are fat, and some people are thin. I think we do way too much as a society to explore these things. And then we write books, you know, how to have an orgasm, how to lose the weight, how to this, how to that. The people that don't have the orgasms, to me, that's almost as determined as, you know, from a predisposition standpoint, as the color of your eyes
maybe,
or your height.
Could be.
I mean, just seems like there's a percentage of women that are multi-orgasmic, and there are those who just don't have orgasms.
There are guys that
guys
too quick, and those that can't after 2 hours.
Guys bust a nut in 10 seconds and guys who don't do it for 10 hours. Is there how much of that can we change? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And even if you were able to sort of determine how it gets wired in, if it's some sort of gene environment interaction that results in that wiring, you probably aren't going to unwire it.
Right. All right. So she enjoys guys. She enjoys sex.
Yeah. So that whole experience of receptivity that women have, I don't think enough is made of. Because a guy, if he were not having an orgasm, he would not be enjoying sex.
Right.
While women have this sort of receptive experience, the estrogen-based feeling of receptivity being a sexually gratifying experience.
Yeah.
Men, that's something we don't even, it's not in our lexicon. We can't understand it.
It's sort of why they can watch soaps. Because guys are like, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, there's Dr. Dex Rexler, and he's dating Nurse Tammy. And it's like, are these people real? No. These are just actors. You're going to a convention? Like, how into something can you get where there's really nothing in it for you?
Certainly.
Although guys have sports and the rotisserie baseball and all this nonsense.
Similar parts of the brain light up with guys when they're thinking and looking at sex as women when they're having emotionally significant conversation.
You know, everybody I work with over at the Kimmel Show, all the writers are just a bunch of nerds. Super geeks geeks from high school. They're writers, they make money, they live in Hollywood, but they're all in all that rotisserie. They all have the fantasy football leagues and all this kind of stuff, and they spend the entire day arguing and trading players and going nuts. And I'm always looking at these guys are in their 30s and early 40s, and I'm always looking at them like, how much time do you guys have for this stuff? And they're like, oh no, that's their life, this rotisserie and fantasy football. And there's a great line, and they get into heated arguments, and they start screaming at each other about, like, I can't believe you put couch on the bench and you started leave. Oh, like, cries. And they start screaming at each other, and they get angry because one won't trade someone for the other. And one of them got it right, Tony, and he yelled at his partner who wasn't pulling his weight. And they have teams or something. Yeah. His partner wasn't doing enough, and I just heard him. He's going, "When are you going to wake up and realize you have a fantasy football team?" And he did it
straight,
as straight as you could do it.
Yeah.
He meant every word of it. When are you going to wake up to the fact that you have a fantasy football team?
That's
wow,
funny.
That's powerful, Vanessa.
Yes,
you're 14.
Yes.
You want to tell your mom you're ready for sex with your 15-year-old boyfriend?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not.
What?
We're declaring you're not ready.
When are you going to be 15?
In January 2nd.
When are you going to be 18?
18?
Yeah. I think it's still on January 2nd, right? This is a few years up the road?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Okay. So, Vanessa.
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
I haven't seen him
quite some
time. I was like 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why do you want to? Are you that open with your mom? She says
no. Like I can tell her things. Like today I was gonna tell her, like, I think I'm ready to have sex, you know. But I asked her, do you trust? Because I've been going out with this guy for about a year.
About a year.
And
Well, I think it's a great idea that you do talk to your mom when it is time to do this.
Yeah,
but we're discouraging you from having sex, but if you decide you're going to, then you talk to
your mom. Yeah, she's going to, like, if I tell her, then she's going to be, like, all freaked out because, you know, my sister is only 16 and she, like, had sex when she was 13. Mm-hmm. And my sister has sex, like, a lot of times, like, with guys.
Once again, growing to torment the mom who's been doing the parenting, and the a-hole dad is in Florida.
Where's your dad?
He's here in Arizona, but I haven't seen him. He, like, pays child support, but that's it.
Yeah, he's in Florida.
He's a delight. Well, I'm sure his heart's in Florida, even if his ass is in Arizona. All right, so your dad's a bad guy. Do you give your mom a hard time?
No.
Of course she does.
No, maybe they just communicate.
I'm dying to tell my mom.
Like, she thinks, like, I'm, like, a goody-good, you know? Like, I'm going to get straight A's, and she thinks that I'm going to wait till I get married when I have sex.
Are you? All right. Are you going
to
get straight A's?
Oh, I don't get straight A's, but that's I always do get good grades, like A's and B's. And
all right. Well, that's good. Listen, Vanessa.
Yes.
Is this guy pushing for sex, or do you want to have
sex? No, he's waited, like, a year, and guys I've dated before always want it, like, 3 months from now.
All right. Listen, you're 14, and I know you grew up in an environment where it's like you're 48 because you're all the wretched crap you've seen and your screwed up sister and all this thing, but you're going to be a mess just like your sister.
Yeah, but this is the guy that I really want.
All right, well then, if it's the guy, you can wait a little longer.
Exactly.
This is why, by the way, if you hook up with someone at 13 and everything's going great, and next thing you know, it's 18 months later, it's like, hey, what do you know what I mean?
That's right.
I got the internet. What's going on? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Well, everybody, that's the show. Thanks for listening. Jason Bateman tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
But
Mom, start sucking.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.